Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Now, streaming live on the Marijuana Agenda.
Oh, really? What are you people? On dope?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, this is great, man.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug. That is absurd.
Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
Toker Talk Radio is your chance to make your voice heard in the marijuana nation.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
Send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Now let's get to Toking and Talking with your host, Russ Belville.
Oh, welcome everybody to Toker Talk Radio. Glad to be here because, boy, we are having a great day here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. It is about 75 degrees outside. It's beautiful. And it's supposed to be getting up into the 90s this weekend, but I won't have to go through that because I will be in Anchorage, Alaska. That's right. Tomorrow, I am headed to Anchorage, Alaska, flying up there as the host of the Cannabis Classic Industry Awards. And that's taking place this weekend in Anchorage. You can check out GoCannabisClassic.com if you'd like to learn more about that. So I'm hoping that the weather is good in Anchorage as well, but not as good as Portland. I don't want to be in the 90s, right? So my hope is that it's nice and 70-ish in Anchorage. I'll check the weather report before I head out. We got all sorts of stuff to talk about this hour. I'm going to fill you in a little more detail on the death threats against one of our good friends of this show, Dr. Carl Hart, the neuroscientist from Columbia University. And he was in the Philippines and delivering his talks about drugs and issuing some condemnations of the bloody dictator there, the Philippine. Well, I can't call him a bloody dictator. He was democratically elected. He's got a majority in his parliament, right? The brutal drug war thug, President Rodrigo Duterte. We'll get you some updates on that and what all went down in the Philippines. Also coming up in this hour, more stories from the world of marijuana reform. I'm going to go into more detail on that Missouri proposal. Oh, my God. Somebody proposed a marijuana legalization that's for all ages and legalizes driving under the influence. It's the MoCrappa Act again. We'll tell you about what MoCrap is when we get later on in this hour. Also on the show, we've got my congressman, I get a vote for him, Earl Blumenauer, who says for marijuana reform, Trump's election just doesn't matter. It's a story out in the Independent Journal Review. We'll take a look at that. Some choice quotes from Earl Blumenauer, and in the picture for Independent Journal Review, a snappy, you know, I'm getting into the bow tie thing. Earl has been my inspiration, I guess, for getting in the bow tie thing. He's got this snappy white, looks like a white polka dot bow tie, but it's white with green, little green pot leaves on it. Beautiful bow tie, Earl. Appreciate that. We'll talk about that coming up in the hour. And also the fight for social use in Colorado. The lawmakers just can't decide what is public use. What can people smoke weed on their own porch? Oh, I know. What if the children saw them smoking weed on the porch? Oh, my God. So we'll talk about that. But first, I want to talk a little bit about my chickens. Love the chickens. And today it's so warm, I put them outside for the first time. So we have video. Here's a chicken
it's
video.
The first day it's the outside, first day outside. Four hot, naked chicks.
Finally out of their cage.
Beautiful summer day here in Portland, Oregon.
There's Rihanna. Jennifer Aniston, the red. There's
Miley Cyrus, the blonde.
Lady Gaga.
Black and white.
It's their first day outside.
Checking out all the plants.
Put some food here on the ground.
They ate some of it.
Not much.
Hi, Miley.
What a good chicken you are.
It's crazy how much I love these chickens.
Dandelions aren't food.
There we go. So there's your look at my chickens. They're all sitting outside in one of the coops and having a beautiful time out there in the sun. Loving them. And we're looking forward to having them as our pest patrol for our legal cannabis plants. You know, we're allowed to grow cannabis plants here in the state of Oregon. And so we'll have some plants outdoors and we'll let the chickens out to patrol them for bugs. Keep our plants free from bugs. That'll be nice. So stay tuned. We got plenty coming up today on the Marijuana Agenda's Toker Talk Radio. I'm also going to take a look at the voicemail at our 650 Legal MJ number. That's open 24 hours a day. You can always call, leave a message at 650 Legal MJ. Tell us what's on your marijuana agenda. We're back in just 2 minutes. Stick around.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the pharmaceutical agenda, without all the side effects, overdose, deaths, you know, insurance.
Side effects may include nausea, dry mouth, and constipation. Dry mouth, constipation, indigestion, and abdominal pain.
Which can occur without warning and may cause death.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for a cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, from the Burning Issues podcast on CannabisRadio.com. Learn more at MJAgenda.com/about.
Pod 2.0. Not your father's Woodstock weed. It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sorry about the audio feed thing. I always forget that the desktop audio and the other audio don't have to be synced up like that. I got to remember to fix that. And let's see if I can fix it.
It's the first day, first side for the four hot naked chicks.
Yep, there we go.
Finally out of there, Kate.
Now we know. Sorry about that, folks. So many new toys here in the studio. Not always sure what I'm doing. All right, so let's get to this story that just blew my mind this morning. Picked up off of marijuanamoment.net, and I encourage you all to subscribe to Tom Angel's newsletter, marijuanamoment.net. Where Dr. Carl Hart's life was threatened over his speech, his talk in the Philippines. And according to the blog post on drugpolicy.org, written by Tony Papa, he and Dr. Carl Hart were on Democracy Now! To talk about Jeff Sessions and so forth. But before going on air, Carl told me that he had just returned from the Philippines, where he had participated in a 2-day drug policy forum conference He spoke out against President Rodrigo Duterte's insane drug war policy, which has resulted in crimes against humanity. He has promoted the cold-blooded murder of many. CNN recently reported that Duterte has approved the murder of more than 8,000 drug users and sellers by Philippine police. During the conference, Dr. Hart spoke out against Duterte's assertion that methamphetamine, which they call shabu, damages and shrinks the user's brain and causes users to commit violent acts. Hart countered these assertions and said there is no scientific fact to support this. Duterte, nicknamed the Punisher by Time magazine, quickly spoke out against Hart in a Philippine newspaper story in which he made several crude remarks. Duterte, in response, called Dr. Hart a fool, saying his statement about shabu was based on an American forensic study. Of course shabu fries the brain, Duterte insisted, and a human rights rapporteur and a psychology professor can go on honeymoon if they don't believe it. Duterte was referring to Agnes Calyamard, a United Nations special rapporteur who was a stern critic of Duterte's war on drugs. When Hart revealed his own drug use during his visit, he began to get death threats against him via social media. A racist cartoon featuring Hart was also published in the Manila Times. Fearing his life was in danger, Dr. Hart cut short his planned two-week visit and left after only 5 days to return home. The question I ask is how President Trump could invite this madman Duterte to the White House to speak with him when it is a known fact that the president of the Philippines engages in this type of behavior. In response, Carl said, quote, Duterte's ignorance is only surpassed by those who support him or invite him to the White House, end quote. So yeah, Dr. Carl Hart getting his life threatened, fearing for his life, and some of the stuff that Duterte said was reported in The Root, saying, quote, that black guy, son of a bitch, has gone crazy, is one of the things that he had said. Said his research was nothing more than American bullshit, quote, Hart said shabu does not damage the brain. That's why that son of a bitch who has gone crazy came here to make announcements. End quote. The cartoon from the Manila Times is also reprinted in theroot.com. It shows Dr. Hart at the podium. I don't know. Saying it's a racist cartoon is tough for me to agree with because it is just a caricature of Carl Hart, who is an African-American with dreadlocks, and that's what they drew, with a bunch of people applauding him who are all have shrunken heads. So the white, they're all white people with bald, big-eared, shrunken heads. So I'm not exactly sure that you can call it racist necessarily, but it is definitely demeaning toward Dr. Carl Hart. So Agnes Calyamard, that we mentioned earlier, spoke also during the policy forum and quoted Dr. Hart on Twitter. This is when Duterte slammed her and said, she should go on a honeymoon with that black guy, the American. I will pay for their travel. They should be together and discuss, end quote. That was for her tweeting Dr. Hart's point that there is no evidence shabu leads to violence or causes brain damage. So, he also has mentioned that he has experimented with methamphetamine in the past and points out that Adderall and methamphetamine are pretty much the same drug. Tobacco and cocaine have similar effects on the fetus. But of course, one of each of those pairs is legal and the other one is illegal. So this is frightening to me that we've got a madman in office in the Philippines, supported by the madman who's in office here in America, a guy who calls for open killing of drug users, and not even after they've been convicted or anything, just if you think someone's a drug user, you think someone's a drug dealer, go ahead and kill them. That's the attitude in the Philippines right now. And it's not just the police. I mean, police are killing people, but also they got vigilante gangs, and they don't get prosecuted. Nobody even cares. 8,000 people murdered this way. And he was elected promising he would do this. He's got a supermajority for his party in the parliament there. He was elected promising to fill Manila Bay with the bodies of criminals and addicts. And then you got Donald Trump, who has supported this guy, who has said, oh, well, he's got a big drug problem. He's handling it the right way. And I tried to tell people early on in the Trump administration that this guy is in league with the worst authoritarian bullies that you could possibly imagine. I mean, did you see the video that came out of Washington, D.C. with Erdogan? The Turkish president was in town, right? Because, of course, he's got to have the Turkish strongman and Vladimir Putin, the Russian strongman, and Duterte, the Philippine strongman, and Xi Jinping, the Chinese strongman. And who knows? His next buddy's probably going to be Kim Jong-un, right? Anyway, Erdogan is in town, this Turkish guy. Turkish president, who's just solidified more of his own power in Turkey, and his bodyguards, you know, there's protests going on, Armenians and others that were protesting the Turkish president being there in the White House, and this guy's bodyguards start attacking the protesters, beating the hell out of him, kicking him. And of course, the DC police were there and started separating everybody. Did this shock you? Did you hear about this? Because you certainly didn't hear much condemnation of this happening, of foreign bodyguards on American soil beating up our protesters for protesting their president. Sorry, this isn't Turkey. We got freedom of speech here. We have the absolute right to criticize your president. And to not have the White House issuing the sternest of condemnations of this is just, we're living in some crazy times. So, I'm glad that Dr. Hart is back. We have a quote from him from Democracy Now! And encourage anyone to check out the full interview on Democracy Now! It's awesome. But here's the quote from Dr. Hart. When I was in the Philippines, the thing I discovered is that it's a lot worse than I originally thought it was. Duterte operates in intimidation. And so, not only is he the problem, but there are other political officials who are afraid to speak out. They are the problem. And Duterte has taken a page out of the 1980s U.S. drug war in that he's using drugs to separate people. The issue of drugs to separate the poor people from the people who have means. And he is allowing or providing the environment so people could kill, as you pointed out, kill people who are engaged in drug use and in drug trafficking. And people are afraid to speak out against this wrong because Duterte has no qualms about having people's lives be threatened. In fact, I discovered that people are being killed for as little as $100. It ranges from about $100 to $500 to have someone killed. And so, actually, I left the Philippines early because my life was threatened because of me speaking out against what Duterte was saying about drugs and what he's doing. And so we have it bad in the United States. But the Philippines? I have never seen anything like the Philippines. End quote. And there's a very good point Dr. Hart made in there, and it's the point I hear from Drug Policy Alliance as well when they say, you know, drug policy is race policy. Well, drug policy is also economic policy because we don't have a war on drugs in this country. We are awash in drugs. We got plenty of drugs. You turn on your TV during the evening news, you will see commercial after commercial for drugs. Those are the accepted drugs. The drugs that you get if you dutifully report to your wage slave occupation and dutifully do your job to keep maintaining that paycheck so that you can have health insurance. Keep reporting to work and we'll give you the health insurance. And with the health insurance, you can then go see the doctor. And with the doctor, you can get your benzodiazepines. You can get your methamphetamines. You can get your all sorts of opiates. You can get these prescribed to you. So long as you make the money, go to work, and pay the massive price increases, the markup on these pharmaceutical drugs, so long as you're an effective, good cog in the machine, making money, doing work, and fulfilling the profit motives of the healthcare industrial complex, you can have all the drugs you want. And even if you don't want that, even if that's not possible, even if you're homeless or you're unemployed or partially employed, you don't have access to health care to be able to get those drugs, we'll let you have a few drugs. We'll let you have some stimulants. You can have some caffeine. You can have some energy drinks. You can have some nicotine. And we'll let you have one mood-altering drug. We'll let you have alcohol. You can have that one because that one punishes you. That one, you can't do too much of that one. Boy, you do too much of that alcohol and it just wrecks you. And actually, we kind of like doing that drug as well. So that one's okay. Don't let anyone tell you we got a war on drugs. And this war on drugs is economic, folks.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
All right, that sound means it's 4:20 here in the Pacific Time Zone. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety meeting. Everybody got to be safe out there. We're particularly safe here in Portland today. Got a little bit of a bomber going. Be right back after 2 minutes of messages with more in the world of marijuana.
It's the first day outside for hot naked chicks. Finally out of their cage.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the gay agenda, only with better music.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Cannabis Sports Medicine from the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry, no food till this is done. It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And hearing that clip reminds me of a landmark occasion that took place yesterday. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show yesterday, but yesterday was the one-year anniversary of the last day I saw my dog, Roscoe, alive. So it's been over a year since I last saw the little fucker, the little Jack Russell terrorist. Oh, I miss that dog. But got plenty of pets now. Chickens aren't quite the same. Not quite the same having chickens as having a dog, but they're sweet. And we do have a little dog here at Delta 9 Studios, Delta 9 House and Studios, little Oso. He's a deer-eared chihuahua or something like that. He's basically all ears, bug eyes, and, well, I'll just leave the rest out for now. But anyway, we got a couple pets, and we got a turtle here, tortoise, I think, little thing in a cage. So, or not a cage, a terrarium, whatever the hell it is. Anyway, back to the marijuana news. Speaking of what's going on here in the great state of Oregon, I want to read this piece about Earl Blumenauer. He's my congressman and one of the members of the Congressional Cannabis Caucus. He was at the Marijuana Business Conference and Expo in Maryland on a panel called Marijuana Under a New Administration, the First 100 Days of Trump. And it says, unlike other members of the panel, Blumenauer was incredibly optimistic about the future of marijuana reform. And so, for those out there that, you know, I get criticized sometimes as being too gloom and doom and that, you know, Trump and Sessions are coming to get us when evidence doesn't yet show that or whatever. I get those criticisms. But to counter that, I'll give you some of Earl Blumenauer, my congressman, who's got a much sunnier optimism about our future under Trump than I do. He said, quote, "If you would have told me 5 years ago that I would be standing with an 83-year-old Republican from Alaska when we rolled out the Cannabis Caucus, I would have taken that bet, but it's symbolic of the progress that has been made. The issue that I have literally been working on for 4 decades, back when Oregon was the first state to decriminalize marijuana and the first state to vote on adult use, we watched this issue crest this fall, winning in 8 out of 9 elections, end quote. Luminara continued, there are some challenges ahead, but after 4 decades, I've never been more optimistic than I am this morning that the end is in sight to be able to eliminate the failed policy of prohibition, to be able to allow states to regulate marijuana as they see fit, and being able to extend medical marijuana to everybody in America. That's my congressman. So the article continues saying that Sessions and Trump have been talking belligerently about marijuana. Blumenauer doesn't seem worried, saying, quote, people who hang on the words of this administration are going to suffer terminal whiplash, end quote. And again, with the scandals that are besetting the Trump administration, he adds, quote, if Obama had bigger fish to fry, I mean, these folks, I don't know the proper analogy. I'll just leave it at dumpster fire. If I was advising this administration, which I am not, the last thing I would suggest is to pick a fight with the voters across the country, end quote, arguing that the 8 victories in 2016 show that this is a political loser for them to be going and attacking. And then after the panel, he expanded on that, saying, quote, I think they would be ill-advised to move. They'd be going against just about 2/3 of the public now. We're moving towards 2/3 public support for recreational adult use, 90% for medical marijuana, and about 3/4 of the people say the federal government shouldn't interfere. That would be really stupid, end quote. Well, let's take that at face value here. I wouldn't put it past the Trump administration to do things that are stupid, right? I mean, I always worry that one of our problems, one of our shortcomings is that we evaluate things rationally. I know, maybe that's a weird way to put it. Evaluating things rationally is a shortcoming, but in politics, doing things isn't always rational. The things people do isn't always rational, or at least doesn't appear rational because you don't understand what the real motivation is. If you frame it a different way, everything becomes perfectly rational, right? Like, Who could make sense of the idea that you would create private corporations to run prisons, and then states would sign contracts with those corporations to keep those prisons full, lest they be financially penalized? That makes no sense if you're being rational. If you're looking at this from a criminal justice or rehabilitation angle, you would think, wait, putting a profit motive on keeping the prisons full? Shouldn't the profit motive be to try to empty the prisons, to try to have fewer people incarcerated, to have a safer and more ordered society? So that makes no sense whatsoever, but you flip the script, you kind of look at it from the other direction, you say, well, wait a minute. If I'm a company that's in the business of warehousing people, and I'm a state that wants to make sure we can move some of those people from one district to the other district for the purposes of apportionment. And if we want to attack the problem of there not being a lot of jobs in the rural districts, and I'm a representative from that rural district that could use that prison, well, now you start to see there's some rationality involved, right? So for Representative Blumenauer to say, you know, it would be stupid of them to go after rec when it's got 60% support, med's got 90% support, and 3 out of 4 say don't interfere. Yeah, that would be stupid if you were thinking, I don't want to piss people off. I don't want to be on the wrong side of the marijuana issue. But maybe from their perspective, they've done electoral calculus. And they've seen that while the support for marijuana is broad, it's not very deep. And what I mean by that is you can get 60% of the people to support marijuana legalization, sure. But you ask those same people, if a candidate did not support marijuana legalization, would you not vote for them? And you're going to get probably not the same level of support. On the other hand, there are issues like abortion, like gun rights. These are the kind of issues where the support is deep. It may not be as broad, but it's really deep. Man, you get that 20-30% of the people that are stridently pro-life, or as I like to call it, anti-woman. You get those people, they will vote in primary elections. They will vote in off elections. They'll turn out, man. Same for the gun folks. They'll turn out. Marijuana folks, not so much. It's hard to get our own stoners out to support our own stuff. It's hard to get all of us on the same page. Now you want to talk to the 80, 90% of the people out there that don't smoke weed at all, don't think it has anything to do with their lives. Their support isn't that deep. So yeah, we get huge numbers, sure. And yeah, huge numbers of people think the federal government shouldn't interfere, but if the federal government did, if a politician wasn't for it, is that going to cost that politician their job? Not likely. We don't have that kind of political power yet. But it is something to think about. Let me go into some of the rest of this. Representative Blumenauer says, quote, "We're watching an industry emerge. There are thousands of family wage jobs. We're watching the normalization. We're collecting millions of dollars in taxes. It's working like one would want in terms of treating it like a real legitimate business and part of a national reform effort," end quote. That may be the saving grace. That is the way, that is the thing that's going to start affecting these voters. That is the thing that's going to deepen the support for this issue, is when they start seeing that it means something to them. Right? Like I said, 80 to 90% of the people, depending on where you're at, don't smoke weed. It's not an issue they give a shit about. But there are ways they can start to give a shit about it. They do care about their town. They do care about their economy. They do care about their schools. And a great example of this is going on right now in a small town in Oregon called Huntington. Huntington, Oregon is this town that was on the highway. And so it was a major thoroughfare going from place to place there in getting across Oregon, as far as getting from, you know, east to west and north to south, actually, at that point. So it was on the highway, and it was just a town like a lot of towns on the highway, right? And then they built the interstate, and the interstate bypassed Huntington. Now, Huntington still remains as this little spur you can take off of Interstate 84. About 5-6 mile drive of old highway and then a ramp to get back on to the interstate. So it's easy to get on and off to the interstate, but if you have no reason to go there, there's no reason for you to take that little spur. There's nothing scenic about it. There's nothing interesting going on. So the only interesting thing going on in Huntington, Oregon is geographically Baker County abuts Malheur County. Now, Malheur County is the biggest county in Oregon. It's basically the whole bottom right corner of Oregon, the southeast corner of Oregon, which is a whole lot of nothing. If you've ever driven through southeastern Oregon, it's desolate. And so it's a very rural, conservative kind of place. And its biggest city is Ontario, which is right on the border of Idaho and Oregon over the Snake River. But Malheur County, being all conservative, has taken advantage of the West Idaho Compromise, as I call it, where the eastern half of Oregon is allowed to ignore our Measure 91 and ban pot businesses. So they did. They just went and banned pot businesses. They don't have to have a vote. So that whole southeastern swath of Oregon is banned for marijuana. But Baker County abuts that county, and Huntington is this little sliver of the county that kind of dips into where, like, the Malheur area is. And Baker County hasn't banned marijuana businesses. So Huntington now has commercial grows and two pot shops, 420ville and High Hopes Farms, I think is what they're called. So these two pot shops are in Huntington, one on either end of the drive, like the spur that you got to drive into this little town. As you enter from the south, there's the 420ville. If you enter from the north, you would hit the High Hopes Farms first. And in between, you got, you know, gas station, a little convenience store, and a church or two, right? And so I've been there a few times as I've driven back and forth to Idaho, where my folks still live, and stopped in at Huntington because, right? And in talking to the people working the gas station, people working the convenience store, people that I just having conversations with at the dispensary and such, they love their pot shops. And not just because they're weed smokers. The people who aren't weed smokers love the pot shops because now people are driving through Huntington again. They're starting to get some money again. They're having jobs and economy. They had to hire another person at the convenience store to work the pumps because so many people coming through getting gas while they're getting weed. And it's largely people from Idaho because it's only 25 miles over the border. When those jobs go away, if Sessions and Trump clamp down, that's when the rural conservatives will start to turn on them.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for cannabis facts about Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors. And Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
The Marijuana Agenda, Kevin Sabet's boogeyman since 2012.
You have offended my family, and you have offended Shaolin Temple.
Yes, might have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for these blasted kids and their dogs.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Cultivator's Corner with Jorge Cervantes from MarijuanaGrowing.com. Learn more at MJAgenda.com/about.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And for this segment, I want to talk about Denver, Colorado. Colorado in general. Legalized marijuana in 2012, and they had the initiative in 2016 for adult use lounges, basically licensing for social use in Denver that passed, and they just can't get their heads around it. They just can't manage to figure out that people that smoke marijuana ought to be given a place to do so. You know, if you legalize something, it's kind of assumed people ought to have a place they can do that legally. And when you legalize like we have so far, and the only place they allow you to do it is your own home, that's a problem for people in public housing, people who rent, they're in apartments or whatever. And it just, it continues to just beggar belief to me that this is such an issue because we've figured it out already. It's just weird to me how when it comes to marijuana, our elected officials, our cities, our states, our regulators, they think they have to reinvent the wheel. They think that this is a brand new thing. Oh my God, we've legalized this brand new thing. Oh, we're in uncharted territory. We don't know what to do because it's brand new. I just don't get it because haven't we figured out intoxicating substances? We got all sorts of laws around alcohol, right? Got all sorts of laws around alcohol because People who are sober can take this drug and it will change their perception. It will change their behavior to some extent. Not saying it turns people into freaks or anything, but you know, you get drunk and you know, you get drunk. We've accepted that as a society. We figured it out. We figured, all right, look, we can have people getting drunk. We got to have some rules here, right? Let's not have the people served after 2 a.m. Let's make sure we punish them if they get in the car and drive. Let's make sure that the professionals who are serving them do their best to not overserve them. Let's make sure that the product being served is tested and it's pure and it's not moonshine going to kill somebody. We figured out intoxicating substances. If we figured out booze, which is far more inebriating and impairing on the mental and physical level than cannabis ever could be, then why not just apply those rules to start, right? Let's start, you know, the whole treat it like alcohol thing. Let's do that. Let's treat it like alcohol. So what do we got with alcohol? We got places where people can go, buildings where they can specifically use it. We got rules that forbid them from driving under the influence of it. We have ways of having outdoor events with alcohol, maybe a wristband to make sure that you've had your ID checked, a roped off area you can't leave so we can keep track of it. We figured it out. Why wouldn't that apply to weed? Now, there is one difference. Marijuana, when smoked, produces smoke, produces a secondhand smoke. Some people find smelly, offensive. For some people, it can kind of make them a little ill. They don't like the effect of it on them. Well, we figured that out too. We know how to deal with that. We've got cigars. Man, I hate the smell of, well, actually, I like the smell of some cigars. I don't like them being smoked. The smell of them before they're smoked, not so bad sometimes. But for a lot of people, that's a noxious odor. Cigar smoke, cigarette smoke, noxious odor. Some people are allergic to it. And we've proven it to be harmful to people to inhale that stuff in great amounts. So I just don't get it. We've figured out the intoxicating thing. We figured out inebriation things, things that change your mind and your body. And then we've also figured out if you take things into your body that affect you that also produce an obnoxious secondhand vapor or smoke, we figured out how to deal with that. So here we have something that is the combination of those two things. It's the combination, at a far lesser extent, again, far safer than alcohol, but at some extent, somewhat like beer in that you take it for fun. And we've got this, you know, the smelly smoke that comes off it. We figured out how to deal with both of those things. Why is it so tough to deal with marijuana? I'll tell you why.
Because of the children. God forbid, what if a child, an innocent young child, was looking around in the neighborhood and saw someone, an adult, smoking marijuana, why, they might think it's something adults can do. And that when they grow up, they might do it.
That's just so crazy. That's really what this is all about. It's all about the poor little children seeing someone smoking pot or smelling it, right? And you know what? It's not even really... That's the first level. It's not even really, when you get bare drilled down on it, it's not even that the kids saw the pot or smelled the pot. It's that then the kid's going to turn to the parent and say, "Mommy, Daddy, what's that? What's that smell, Mom? Mom, why is that? What's that guy smoking? Why does that smell different than Dad's cigarettes? Mom, Dad, what? Mom?" And oh no, now we have to talk to our children. Can't just pop in a DVD of Frozen. Can't just hand them an iPad with some games on it. Oh no. Can't just shuffle them off to school where they won't talk about those kind of things. Or if they do, they'll say that they're awful. We have to engage our children and talk to them. Oh my God. And then they're going to ask if we've ever smoked pot. Oh, and we did. We smoked pot back in the day, and our kids will think that we're dopers. Oh, my God. Wouldn't it be just easier if we banned it? Let's just ban it. Let's just not have anybody smoking outside anywhere. Anyone can see them or smell them. Let's just keep them in their house, in their basement, chained to the radiator, and they can only smoke between 2 and 4 in the morning on odd-numbered Tuesdays. How about that? That's what this is getting to. This is how ridiculous this is. And according to the report in the Denver Post on this, this Denver initiative, right? Hours before the legislative session was to end, the lawmakers in the state finally came up to an agreement, finally figured out where is it going to be legal for people to smoke pot, and then moments later, it failed. Kevin Bomber with the Colorado Municipal League characterized it as getting all the way to the 1 yard, all the way to the 1 yard line, and then couldn't punch it in. Jed Golden, an attorney and board member of Colorado Normal, says, quote, "The pivotal question that guides all of this is, what do you think about people who consume marijuana?" End quote. And that's where it really gets to. In the opening lines of Colorado's amendment to legalize marijuana, Amendment 64, marijuana should be regulated in a manner similar to alcohol. In a manner similar to alcohol. How is alcohol related? This is where I for me, this is the issue, right? This is it to me. It's not whether marijuana is going to be taxed and raise a lot of money for people. It's not a whole matter for me of any of that. It's all about, to me, we have as a society accepted that it's okay for people to alter their mind through the use of drugs. And we have arbitrarily and capriciously decided that this one natural, non-toxic, least harmful one should be punished. Its use should be punished. And I can't accept the arbitrary, capricious nature of this decision. It just blows my mind. It's like, let's legalize the worst ones, alcohol and tobacco. But let's make sure that the mushrooms and the marijuana and all these minor non-addictive mind-expanding substances are the most harshly prohibited drugs on the planet. And again, we know why. Because these things grow naturally and you could farm and harvest them yourselves. And well, if you do that, you don't need to have that job to go to that desk and collect that check so that you can have your health insurance. So you go to the doctor, so he'll write a prescription that you give to the pharmacist who gets a pill from the pharmaceutical company that gives its campaign donations to the people that write the laws that make sure that the stuff you can grow stays illegal. That's the big problem with all these drugs. It's not, again, that whole thing about rational thought. If your rational thought is we should legalize or criminalize things based on how harmful they are or how risky they are, then our drug policies seem insane. But again, if you really know what's underlying it, if you look at it from the perspective of keeping that capitalism growth engine fueled, then it makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. The drugs that are pharmaceutically prepared, that you have to have a major chemistry lab and a friggin' factory to put together with precursor chemicals that are hard to obtain by the general public, shit, legalize the hell out of those. We can sell those fuckers. And especially if you got something that these pharmaceutical preparations can help you live with. I mean, Chris Rock in his stand-up puts it best on this whole issue. They ain't gonna cure nothing. They're still pissed off that they cured polio. They gotta make it so you can live with it, that you can arrest it, that it doesn't make it go away, it just makes it go to sleep. Because then you gotta keep coming back for the pill. Gotta keep coming back for it. And man, when you tell folks that whatever it is that they need to keep arrested can be arrested through the use of a house plant that they can grow themselves and harvest themselves and process themselves, that really messes with them. And when you tell them that for some people, the use of that plant can cure them, end their need, that completely upsets the apple cart. We can't have that. You're going to now start affecting our bottom line. So there's the trickiest question, according to the Denver Post. Can you smoke pot on your front porch? According to a report, quote, A majority of task force members in a straw poll vote believed that smoking on a front porch was not open and public and could therefore be allowed under Amendment 64. Whereas all task force members believed that smoking in a public park was indeed open and public and therefore not allowed under Amendment 64. I think most of us are going to agree with that. Although, I still believe if there is a dispensation in public parks for the use of alcohol, that should be the same dispensation for the use of cannabis in conjunction with whatever the rules are on smoke, on tobacco smoke. I know there's some public parks now that are tobacco smoke free. Fine. If it's tobacco smoke free, I'm fine with it being marijuana smoke free. If it's alcohol free, I'm fine with it being marijuana free. But you got to give us a place to be able to use this stuff when you make it legal, or otherwise it's kind of a level of entrapment. Hey, here's some legal weed. Here's some legal weed. Oh, great. Oh, no, you can't use it in public. All right, we'll come back and close things up right after this 2-minute break.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hey, everybody, it's Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platschorn's TheSilverTour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at HempInc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from TheSilverTour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at HempInc.com.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the Freedom Leaf Preview with Steve Bloom from Freedom Leaf Magazine. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barak has sent him a package? Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, welcome back, everybody. As we close up shop today, I got to tell you about the return of Mo Crap. In 2016, there was the fight to get medical marijuana on the ballot in Missouri, and it fell just 23 signatures short. You can hear more about that on the Midwest Cannabis Chronicle earlier this week. But also in the running in 2016 was something that was the Missouri Cannabis Restoration and Protection Act. Think about the acronym for that. Missouri, M-O, Missouri, Cannabis Restoration and Protection Act. That's right, the MOCRAPA, or the MOCRAP Act. So the MOCRAP Act was one of these harebrained, pie-in-the-sky, pothead fantasy initiatives. You see them usually on the West Coast. And it appears to be back. Now, I cannot confirm at this point that it's the same group that was behind the other one. But the language seems similar as I'm reading the ballot title. So here it is. I'll read this straight from the Secretary of State's office in the Show Me State in Missouri. Here it is. Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft today announced an initiative petition relating to marijuana use and expunging cannabis-related criminal records which met state standards for circulation. The official ballot title for initiative petition 2018-218 reads, "Do you want to amend the Missouri Constitution to legally allow people to drive under the influence of marijuana, cannabis?" Okay, now there's a bunch of other points on this. I'll read the rest of them. But if you're in the ballot box and you're some senior citizen voter who doesn't know dick about marijuana, and the first thing you see on a ballot title is, "Do you want to amend the Missouri Constitution to legally allow people to drive under the influence of marijuana?" Your vote is no. This thing's DOA immediately right from that alone. But it continues. "Remove state prohibitions on the possession, cultivation, and sale of marijuana for personal or medical use, regardless of age."
Man.
So if our voter has made it past legalizing driving under the influence of marijuana, we're now on to legalizing pot for kids. "Do you want to amend the Missouri Constitution to legalize stone driving and pot for kids?" It follows with, "Release all individuals from incarceration, parole, and probation if convicted only of nonviolent marijuana-related crimes." That's fair enough. "Remove state prohibitions on commercial cultivation, manufacture, distribution, and sale of marijuana." Sure, gotta have a tax and regulate. "Destroy all state civil and criminal records of nonviolent marijuana-related crimes." Okay, I'm for it, absolutely. Don't think it hurts it too bad. "Prohibit Missouri assisting enforcement of federal marijuana offenses." Okay. "And prohibit the taxation of physician-recommended medical marijuana." That's a beautiful thing to want to do. The statement concludes with, "This proposal is estimated to result in annual state savings of $10.7 million. Additional state operating costs resulting from this proposal are estimated at $700,000 annually. Local law enforcement costs could increase." So that's the seems to be the reincarnation of the Mo Crap Act in Missouri. And I've got the actual text of this thing in case you think the Secretary of State is, you know, mischaracterizing what this says. I'll read to you from the actual petition. It says, "Following acts are not unlawful and shall not be an offense under Missouri law." And let me find the driving thing. "The use and or possession of cannabis shall not be grounds for issuing a driving under the influence stop, charge, arrest, or fines when operating a motor vehicle." Now, possession of cannabis, great. Put that in, you're great. "The use of cannabis shall not be grounds for a DUI." Look, I know we smoke and drive, and most of us drive just fine, but not all of us. There's a few of you out there should not be token and driving, and I want cops to be able to pull those people over. I don't want marijuana to be a big headline of someone stupid causing a crash that makes it harder for us to legalize the next place. And yes, the for all ages, following acts shall not be an offense. Possession of cannabis for personal or medical use, cultivating cannabis for personal or medical use, cultivating, harvesting, processing, manufacturing, packaging, distributing, transferring, displaying, or possessing cannabis, blah, 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 cannabis accessories, blah, blah, blah. But again, doesn't say any age. They don't have a list here. It doesn't say adult use. So there you go. Mo Crap Act is back. Folks, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. There'll be a pre-recorded show tomorrow available from MJAgenda.com because I'll be on a plane to Anchorage. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and SoundCloud. And follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
Take a seat, you're ready to you're growing, you're giant, you're